This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, February 10th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
An appeals court will not reinstate President Trump's seven-nation travel ban, setting up a battle in the Supreme Court.
OPEC follows through on production cuts, achieving its best compliance rate ever.
China's exports surge in January as the nation braces for a trade friction with the Trump administration.
The Senate has confirmed Tom Price as the next Health and Human Services Secretary, plus the fallout from comments made by Trump aide Kellyanne Conway. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, Rangers rally with two in the third to beat the Predators. Islanders come up with a nice win in Philly.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
And good morning.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker.
It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.25%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 2.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. Again, futures higher this morning. This is after all three major indexes rose to records yesterday. The S&P 500 added 0.6% to close at 2307, with financial stocks leading that rally. 10-year Treasury this morning down 5/32. The yield 2.41%. The yield on the 2-year 1.18%. COMEX gold is down 0.9%, or down $11 to $12.2580 an ounce. The euro $1.0642. The yen 113.68.
A federal appeals court has refused to reinstate President Donald Trump's travel ban. Let's get the very latest this morning from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump responded to the ruling by saying, in caps, "See you in court." A federal appeals court has upheld the suspension of Trump's executive order calling for the travel ban on seven majority Muslim countries. Washington was one of the states that filed a suit against the ban. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
It'll be up to the federal government to determine how they want to proceed. But the bottom line is the stay of the ban remains in effect.
The ruling is likely destined for the U.S. Supreme Court. Karen?
Michael Barr, thank you. We're getting official word this morning of a $16.6 billion acquisition by a U.K. company. Joining us live with the latest is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Neera Chahich from our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. Yes, Reckitt Benckiser has agreed to buy Mead Johnson Nutrition for $16.6 billion. We're talking about a UK consumer products maker wanting to move into the baby formula market for the first time as it seeks to boost slowing sales growth. And on that news, we've seen Reckitt Benckiser shares initially open lower, down 0.5%. They're now up 0.2%. But overall, looking at European stocks, the Stock 600 up for a fourth day. We're up some 0.2% on Europe's equity benchmark, and it is commodity producers, mainly miners, leading those gains. It's the best performing industry group, and a lot of that is to do with that better than expected trade data that we had out of China. Also, earnings have been lifting some of the sentiment in Europe, as well as, of course, the revival in the Trump trade. Earnings in particular, let's look at ArcelorMittal rising after reporting a 20% gain in profit, helped by a rally in steel and iron prices. ArcelorMittal up around 4%. Neera Chahich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Neera. Equities in Asia rising today ahead of a meeting between President Donald Trump and the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Bloomberg's Sophie Cameroon has details from our Hong Kong bureau.
John and Karen, it's been a phenomenal Friday for Asian markets as Donald Trump promises a phenomenal tax plan, although scant on detail, perhaps lending credence to Deutsche Bank's Binky Chada's view that the Trump rally is just beginning. Asian stocks rose to an 18-month high, with the Nikkei 225 the best performer, as a softer yen boosted Japanese exporters. And with cars possibly on the agenda at the Trump-Abe summit, Japanese automakers trekking higher, and Chinese stocks capping the best weekly gain since November, helped along by the export rebound in January, the Shanghai comp closing 0.5% higher, and the extended jump in H shares sending the Hang Seng to a four-month high. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Sophie. We'll bring you live coverage of President Trump's joint press conference with the Prime Minister Abe, scheduled for 1 p.m. Wall Street time.
We're also getting trade data from China today, showing a strong jump in exports in January. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
Exports rose 7.9% in dollar terms, while imports increased 16.7%. Both were better than estimates in a Bloomberg survey. It's welcome news for China as it faces possible trade frictions with the United States. Earlier, Robert Van Trooyen, CEO of the Asia-Pacific for Maersk, told us business is looking better.
A good start of the year, a strong start of the year. 2017 has every possibility to become a very good year for shipping.
Even with the seasonal adjustments, the data suggests a pickup in growth in the United States, Europe, and in emerging economies. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Brian. Late last year, when OPEC and non-OPEC members announced an agreement to cut oil production, the deal was met by skepticism from some analysts.
I certainly have a jaundiced view of OPEC's ability to make good on this pledge.
I have very little confidence in OPEC longer term.
It's unclear if OPEC and non-OPEC will be able to actually follow through on these cuts.
Well, now, the International Energy Agency says OPEC countries achieved their best compliance rate in history last month, implementing 90% of promised OPEC output cuts. Saudi Arabia reportedly reduced production by even more than it initially committed. And this is causing the IEA to boost its estimates for world oil demand in 2017. As we check oil prices right now, NYMEX crude up 53 cents at $53.53, up 1%. Brent up 64 at $56.27, up 1.2%.
And futures, again, are moving higher. This is after the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all rose to records yesterday. S&P futures, they're up 3 points. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.41%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.18%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news and a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 of Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. A court battle over President Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations is far from over. A federal appeals court yesterday refused to reinstate the ban, rejecting the administration's claim of presidential authority. The decision prompted Trump to say in a tweet, "See you in court." Washington State was one of the states that filed suit against the ban. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
In response to the president's tweet, well, we have seen him in court twice, and we're 2 for 2.
The Senate has confirmed Tom Price as the next Health and Human Services Secretary. The early morning vote was strictly along party lines. Members of the House Oversight Committee are calling for an investigation after comments made by White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway. During a TV interview yesterday, Conway urged people to go out and buy Ivanka Trump merchandise, referring to the first daughter's commercial line of products. A federal ethics law prohibits government employees from using their office to promote commercial products and services. Oversight Committee Chairman Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz called Conway's comments unacceptable.
What Kellyanne Conway did was very over the top, clearly over the line. It's black and white. It was wrong, 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 and it should never happen again.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer.
Kellyanne has been counseled, and that's all we're going to go with. She's been counseled on that subject, and that's it.
South African President Jacob Zuma's annual State of the Nation address descended into chaos last night. Bloomberg's Emma Mbatha reports from Cape Town.
As opposition lawmakers brawled with security guards, riot police fired stun grenades outside Parliament, and rival party supporters clashed in the streets of Cape Town. In his speech, Zuma pledged to engineer a radical economic overhaul to tackle poverty, give the black majority a bigger stake in Africa's most industrialized economy, and reduce racial income disparities. I'm Khalang Bata, Bloomberg Daybreak, Cape Town.
New York City is digging out from yesterday's powerful winter storm. The storm forced the cancellation of numerous flights. at New York area airports. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. Both the Knicks and Nets were off, which put the spotlight on the Rangers, who rallied once again at Madison Square Garden with a pair late to come from behind and beat the Predators 4-3. JT Miller scored a pair, and Kevin Hayes says of late the offense seems to be able to assert their will.
I'm not really sure. I think we all kind of complement each other. I like to pass, and those two clearly like to score. And Grouse, they're both having great years and scoring at will right now. So I'm just trying to find them, and they try to get it to me in the zone, and just go from there.
Chris Kreider also had his 22nd, as the Rangers have won four straight. Henrik Lundqvist had 34 saves. New York now fourth in the East. Islanders equally as impressive, picking up a nice win in Philadelphia.
Mark Streit for the Flyers, turning that one over. Boychuk jams it ahead to Cizikas. Cizikas, fanned on a shot, gets it back and scores! Casey Cizikas got a second crack at it. He beats Mason, and the Islanders now lead 3-1.
Islanders TV, 3-1, your final. Anders Lee also is 19th of the year. The Isles still have some hope and plenty of hockey to play. Just 3 points out of the playoffs entering Friday. NBA, Miami visits Brooklyn tonight, while the Knicks host the Nuggets. Trade deadline just 2 weeks away. In college basketball, number one Gonzaga stays the lone unbeaten team, pounding LMU 90-60. UCLA erased a 14-point deficit at home to edge Oregon, and Duke beat North Carolina in the Battle of Tobacco Road 86-78. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, getting some M&A news from the world of sports today. The Kushner family, relatives by marriage to President Donald Trump, are in talks to buy the Miami Marlins. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Forbes had earlier reported that Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria had a handshake agreement to sell the club for $1.6 billion. Forbes did not identify the buyer in that earlier report. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures after the record. They're up right now 2 points, up 0.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak being brought to you by Bentley University. What to tying up the finances at Converse and managing asset allocations at J.P. Morgan have in common? A business degree from Bentley University. Because business is everywhere, prepare here.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your financial team by providing the skills you need for financial transformation. Learn more at cgma.org/radio. Global stocks are rallying while the yen and government bonds slump after U.S. President Donald Trump promised a plan to overhaul business taxes in the next few weeks. Equity markets in Europe and Asia advancing, sending the MSCI All-Country World Index to the highest level since June 2015. This is after U.S. stocks climbed to records yesterday, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up 8, the DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.41%, NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 53 cents to $53.53 a barrel, COMEX gold down 0.9% or $10.70 to $12.26.10 an ounce, the euro $1.0646, the yen 113.64. We're also watching today for reports on the import price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. Consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan is out at 10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump's ban on travelers from 7 predominantly Muslim nations is still on hold following a unanimous ruling from a 3-judge federal appeals court. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals rejected the government's claim of presidential authority and said the executive order presented significant constitutional questions. President Trump reaffirmed the U.S.'s long-standing support for the One China policy. Trump made his first call as president to Chinese President Xi Jinping. The White House said the two leaders discussed numerous topics. They also extended invitations to meet in their respective countries. In sports in the NHL, the Rangers and the Islanders were winners. The Bruins beat the Sharks 6-3. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Celtics were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. It's now 5:20 on Wall Street. Time to bring in our first guest this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Lynn Graham Taylor is a rate strategist at Rabobank, joining us from London this morning. Lynn, good to talk to you this morning. Just when you think the market might be a little overconfident, along comes President Trump announcing something phenomenal on taxes. And this morning it is risk on again. We have yields right now, the two-year yield in the U.S., up 0.7% right now. The 10-year yield is also rising this morning. What next for these markets?
Yeah, I mean, as a desk, we're generally much more glass half empty on the Trump presidency than the market's been trading it. So we
are you talking about being a pessimistic bond trader? What a surprise.
Yeah, well, that comes with the territory. So, yeah, we actually have year-end U.S. 10-year at 2%, which is obviously quite out of consensus of an aggressive call, but we just think that way too much good news has been priced in. Or the other way of interpreting things is that a lot of term premium has been priced in. And as we get more clarity on the Trump presidency, some of that term premium will begin to get priced out of the market.
Okay, that begs the obligatory question then, as far as the Fed rate increases this year. What's the expectation for Rabobank?
Yeah, again, Rabo are quite off consensus. We're actually calling for only one hike rather than the two that's, well, 1.8 that's priced in, and the sort of two to three, or the three that's in the dots, and the two to three that's priced in with the market. So we're just saying one at the end of the year.
Let's switch over to Europe. I got to think that the when you look at the spreads between the German bunds and some of the peripheral countries, well, we'll include France in that, and the idea that a Le Pen victory in France, well, that's got to be something that maybe is a little overdone at this point, do you think?
Well, I think the way we've tried to look at this is the first round of the French elections, it looks fairly high probability that Le Pen will win, well, will come first in that first round. And so we like being short French govies heading into that. Now, as you suggest, in the second round, it looks at the moment like, if we assume it would be a Macron versus Le Pen, as the polls indicate at the moment in the second round, it looks like Macron is a significant amount ahead, and much more than the swing that was seen in the sort of populist events in the 3 months in the run-up to Brexit or the US elections. So at the moment, we would like following that first round to then go long French bonds on the premise that it will be an establishment candidate who will win the second round.
Okay, let's switch to Italy, and what's your view on Italy?
Yeah, I mean, generally we like peripheral spread wideners at the moment on the back of a combination of factors, but including political risk and the increased focus or increased attention on ECB tapering. You know, although we don't anticipate it being announced until December, it's obviously well on the market's radar now.
And Greece, is that something of interest at this point?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's added to what's already sort of a backdrop that's favourable for wideners. Obviously, it's something that has flared up pretty much every year for the last, well, since about 2010. I think it just adds to the volatility in the market. And yes, it is of interest, the way we've always kind of, we view it as a very high likelihood that Greece do remain in the Eurozone, you know, in a tradable horizon. But yeah, it does add to volatility in the Eurozone bond markets.
Is that the overall view, the overall theme going into 2017, continued volatility or maybe increased volatility the world over in the fixed income markets?
Yeah, I think definitely, especially in the Eurozone bond markets, I think we've got a bit of a change where I think, I know this is an old story, banks can warehouse less bonds than they used to be able to, and the average bank can probably trade fewer names than they used to be able to. So a lot of the very large swings we're seeing, at least are partly driven by the lack of warehousing of risk by banks. So, for example, we saw significant moves in like France this morning on the back of no real new news at all on France.
And we can't forget Japan. You got about 20 seconds. Data-driven, at least there.
Yeah, obviously, it's still all really about the yield curve control there. So, yeah, something that's going on in the backdrop.
And your view on JGBs?
Yeah, I think we're still, for the time being, I think the bank, it'll still be a small upside bias to where they kind of think they want their yield curve control to be. The market will push it, and then the BOJ will come in and kind of step down, try and push yields down a little bit.
Lynn, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Lynn Graham-Taylor, rate strategist at Rabobank, joining us from London this morning on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, looks like members of OPEC are complying with the latest production deal. We're going to speak to Christopher Sell of the Bloomberg Oil Buyer's Guide straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. Imagine transforming your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. According to the International Energy Agency, OPEC countries implemented 90% of promised output cuts in January. That's the best compliance rate ever for an oil accord. The agency says world inventories will fall by 600,000 barrels a day in the first half of the year if OPEC sticks to its agreement.
Reckitt Benckiser has agreed to buy baby formula maker Mead Johnson for $16.6 billion in cash. It's a way for the British consumer products company to jumpstart sales and increase its presence in Asia. Bloomberg had previously reported that the two companies were in acquisition talks.
President Trump says he plans to release a, quote, phenomenal tax plan within the next few weeks. Bloomberg's Dina Cervetti reports.
The president offered no specific details on the plan. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says it will be one of the most comprehensive business and individual tax overhauls since 1986. Last month, Trump aides said he was warming to a corporate tax plan favored by House Speaker Paul Ryan that would cut the corporate tax rate to 20%. It would also tax U.S. companies on domestic income and imports while exempting their exports and offshore income. That so-called border-adjusted plan has run into widespread opposition from retailers and oil refiners. Major exporters, including companies like General Electric, have expressed support. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Gina. PIMCO's total return fund is trimming its holdings of U.S. government debt to the lowest level since September, as the bond giant warns that inflation is picking up. The $74 billion fund reduced its stake in government securities to 46% and added to its position in investment-grade credit.
And a former PIMCO manager, Hantong Li, is planning to start two new hedge funds focused on fixed income investments. This according to people familiar with the matter who say Han has lined up three investors who are providing a total of $500 million for the two Hong Kong-based funds. Futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up 7. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.40%. Yield on the two-year 1.18%. The euro $1.0646. The yen 113.61. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. That's time for news from around the world. Once again, here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. See you in court. The security of our nation is at stake. That's a tweet, all in caps, from President Trump after a federal appeals court refused to reinstate his ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations. The court in San Francisco said the ban presents significant constitutional questions. Washington State was one of the states that filed suits against the Trump administration. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson spoke after the ruling.
We respect that the president has broad authority when it comes to issuing executive orders, but but they still have to follow the Constitution.
Ferguson, responding to Trump's tweet, said, "We've seen him in court twice, and we're two for two." Republicans have won Senate confirmation of President Donald Trump's choice for health secretary. Senators have approved Georgia Congressman Tom Price to head the Health and Human Services Department by a strictly party line 52-47 vote. The Democrats prolonged until nearly 2 a.m. Washington time. Democrats oppose Price's support for revamping the Medicare program for the elderly. Republicans see Price as a knowledgeable leader who will help scuttle the Affordable Care Act. The House has used a rare rule to repeal 8 Obama administration rules for federal agencies. As Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports, lawmakers aren't likely to let up when Congress returns to work next week.
The next rule up for review involves drug testing for people applying for unemployment.
What this rule does is specify which occupations routinely require drug tests.
Like airline and railroad crews or jobs that require firearms. Bloomberg government Sarah Babbage says, like the other rules Congress has targeted, this one is likely to go away.
Republicans think that states should have more leeway in choosing which applicants for unemployment compensation they drug test. And they would also like to give states the option to drug test existing beneficiaries, not just applicants.
Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
The Northeast is digging out from a winter storm that dumped a foot of snow or more from New York City to Boston. The storm affected flights nationwide with numerous cancellations. Yesterday, some parts of New York got up to a foot of snow, and there are some train delays, so please check your line to see where you stand this morning. Mayor Bill de Blasio says, though, New York City schools will be open today. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. 5:36 Wall Street. Now with a Bloomberg NBC Sports update. Here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Knicks and Nets were idle on Thursday, but the news on Charles Oakley continues to come in. Oakley, arrested earlier this week in a Knicks game for assault, says he was harassed by security after he claims he bought the ticket.
I mean, you know, somebody walking up on you, you got to protect yourself in all matters. And I've been in a situation like that before. I've been jumped before. So my mind always matter thinking, like, if you see 7, 8, 9, 10 guys walking up on you, you have to brace yourself and be ready for the challenge. And that's all I was thinking.
Oakley was booked and later released. Knicks host the Nuggets tonight. The Heat are a Barclays Center to battle the Nets. The hockey, the Rangers pulled it out once again at Madison Square Garden with 2 goals in the third to down Nashville 4-3. 34 saves from Hank Lundqvist, but the offensive surge is what coach Alain Vigneault pointed out in the postgame.
I think Kevin and JT can make plays with the puck, and there's no doubt that Grabs, with his speed, enables them to get a little bit more open space. You know, they're playing extremely well right now.
Rangers are fourth in the East. Anders Lee notched his 19th as the Islanders played as complete of a game as you can hope for, getting a goal in each period en route to a 3-1 win in Philadelphia. The Islanders are just 3 points out of the final playoff spot. College basketball, number one Gonzaga stays undefeated, 25-0 after beating LMU by 30. UCLA with a late surge beats Oregon, and Duke topped North Carolina 86-78 at Cameron Indoor Arena. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks, Rob. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, John. Morgan Stanley could move into a new skyscraper at the Hudson Yards development on Manhattan's far west side. People familiar with the matter say the bank is thinking about 2 million square feet of space still available at 50 Hudson Yards. But the tower is among a number of potential sites, and ultimately Morgan Stanley could stay in its midtown location near Times Square. Blackstone will buy Aon's human resources and benefits administration platforms for $4.8 billion, according to people with knowledge of the situation. They say the price will include an earn-out provision in which Blackstone will make some payments to Aon if the business performs well after the deal is completed. Merck may sell some dermatology treatments. The portfolio could bring in as much as $1 billion. Bloomberg sources say the products involved have annual income of more than $360 million. Drug makers here in the U.S. and Europe have been trimming their portfolios to raise cash. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. Shares of the video game maker Activision Blizzard this morning, among the most actively traded. They're up 7.6% right now in early trading. Ed of the video game maker reported fourth quarter earnings that beat estimates. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Activision credits online spending for video games like World of Warcraft and recurring revenue from past versions of its hit series Call of Duty. The Santa Monica-based company also says it will take the Call of Duty combat franchise, quote, back to its roots after a space-themed version of one of the world's most popular video games failed to sell as well as predecessors. Call of Duty was first introduced as a World War II-themed game in 2003. Since then, it has often ranked as the top-selling title in the industry. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Investors in Snap's IPO won't have any say over executive pay. In an updated deal prospectus, the parent of Snapchat said the company will not be subject to any say-on-pay provisions of the Dodd-Frank Act. Snap's co-founders will hold majority voting rights after the company goes public. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg Radio affiliate station to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. I'm reporting how General Motors expects its North American profit margin to recover after a weaker fourth quarter.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the cost of insuring Sears' debt against default has almost doubled over the past month.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the rise in council tax from local authorities set to hit UK residents from April.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting hints of bad news for the citrus industry have been confirmed by the latest USDA report.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting AT&T's wireless workers are closer to striking at the nation's second largest carrier.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, the S&P futures up 2 points, the Dow futures up 25. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by the audit, tax, and advisory professionals at Eisner Amper, LLP.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and today we are watching four reports on the Import Price Index at 8:30 Wall Street time. Consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan is out at 10. Economists forecast a decline to 98. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has that story.
Consumer sentiment has made sizable gains since the election. January's reading of 98.5 was the highest in 13 years. Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say the gains have been more durable than most analysts anticipated based on patterns from prior elections. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinnie. Futures this morning, they are little changed to higher now. This after stocks rose to a record yesterday. S&P futures up a point. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 5. DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.40%. And NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 56 cents to $53.55 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% or $9.40 to $12.2740 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump will meet today with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. It's believed Abe will propose Japanese investment in the U.S. The meeting is seen as a chance to shore up a long-standing security alliance and repair economic ties. In a party-line vote, Georgia Congressman Tom Price won confirmation as head of the Department of Health and Human Services. And our big story this morning, see you in court. The security of our nation is at stake. That is what President Donald Trump tweeted, all in caps, after a federal appeals court refused to reinstate his travel ban that kept people from seven predominantly Muslim nations out of the U.S. The federal appeals court in San Francisco said the argument that the ban targets Muslims raised serious allegations and presented significant constitution questions. It is the subject of today's Bloomberg Law Brief, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Joining us now is Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure. Good morning.
Let's start with the big question. Will the Trump administration take this to the Supreme Court?
Well, it's not 100% sure. Donald Trump said, we'll see you in court, but he didn't say which court. Regardless, this case can go forward in a federal trial court as well. This is just the immediate temporary hold on the order that we're talking about. So it's at least possible the administration will decide not to, and we'll just fight it out at the lower court level.
What chance does this ban have in the nation's highest court?
Well, they're going to have to get five votes, and that means, and with only eight justices on the court, that means that they would have to get one of the members of the court's liberal wing. The appeals court decision was pretty resounding, 3-0. It didn't say that the ban is unconstitutional, but it certainly said that it has doubts that the ban is constitutional. And in a pretty significant part of it, the appeals court said very clearly that we have the right to at least review this order, and that was a big rejection of the Trump administration.
And Greg, you brought up the Supreme Court justices themselves, especially Anthony Kennedy, who is usually the swing vote. Now, how do you think he'll go with this?
Well, first of all, Kennedy is significant for another reason, too, because the administration would have to file its request with him. He could act on it on his own. More likely, he would refer to the full court. That's what they usually do. But again, it's not going to be Kennedy that's a swing vote here. Because of the court being shorthanded, to avoid a 4-4 split on the court, they have to get another justice, one of the members of the liberal wing. Typically, we look to Stephen Breyer first, and so even just getting Justice Kennedy's vote won't be enough for the administration, at least at this stage. Of course, there's a Supreme Court nomination, and at some point there will be a ninth justice, and then maybe the administration will have a stronger chance at that point.
Well, that's a whole new thing about the strategy involved in this, involving, for anybody supporting the ban, Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. Now, he would be able to make it a 5-vote majority if, first of all, obviously, he is confirmed and he makes it to the high court. What will be his impact on this case?
Right. Of course, we don't know exactly what he would do. And you know, we don't want to also just assume that the justices are going to go along party lines. I mean, look at this appeals court decision. There's a Republican appointee joining two Democratic appointees. The appeals court was 3-0. I think probably maybe a more important distinction to make is that it may be easier for the administration if they, once we get to the point where the court is really deciding on the constitutionality of the president's ability to do this. We're at this stage right now where the court is asking for emergency action from the court, asking them to stop something a trial judge has done. And the standard for doing that is pretty high. So it's actually harder for the administration at this point to get what they want on a temporary basis than it might be later on if and when the court is asked to directly consider whether this order is constitutional.
And President Trump, he called the decision political. Obviously, he is not happy about it. The three Dutch panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which you mentioned earlier, they called into question Trump's executive order to limit immigration. Bob Ferguson, Washington State's attorney general, says while they respect the president has broad authority when it comes to issuing executive orders, they still have to follow the Constitution. People in the Trump administration believe they are. Your thoughts about all of that?
Yeah, and part of the problem that the appeals court identified was the way this order was put into effect so quickly. The changing interpretations that we got, for example, about whether green card holders are covered by it, the fact that so many travelers were stranded, the appeals court, suggested that that's part of the reason they're not sure that if they put it back into effect, it wouldn't have significant harms against various people, including people who live in the two states, Washington and Minnesota, that filed the suit.
And that brings up another point. These rulings, the states, Washington and Minnesota, they had to prove that the travel ban was causing harm. Now, it's one thing to make the case as an individual, as you were mentioning some cases about individuals at the airports, but it's harder to do as a state to make that case. Am I right or wrong about that?
You're right, except the appeals court didn't have too much trouble with that particular aspect of the case. The states said, among other things, people at our universities, students, faculty members are being harmed by this, and you know the universities are state run. The universities can't attract faculty members from overseas. Students might not be able to come over and attend. And the appeals court, didn't, as I said, seem like it had too much trouble with that aspect of the ruling. There were a few other places where the appeals court suggested it wasn't a clear, the answer to a particular aspect of the case wasn't clear. But on what we call standing of the states, the appeals court seemed pretty sure that the states were able to sue.
And as all of this is going on, another state challenged President Trump's executive order on immigration is scheduled for a federal court hearing today. Michael Kelly, spokesman for Virginia's Democratic Attorney General Mark Herring, says it will be the most in-depth examination of the merits of the arguments against the ban. Virginia claims the order violates the Constitution and is the result of animus toward Muslims. What is the impact if another state joins the fight?
Well, it just means that it's even harder for the administration to defend this particular ban. One of the things that happened here, and the administration likes to point to this, is that there was different judges have looked at different aspects of this ban. There was another judge who considered whether to block the whole ban and said, no, I'm not going to. But it only took one federal trial judge to say it's probably unconstitutional, so I'm going to put it on hold, and now there's just another front in this battle.
Greg Storr, thank you very much, sir. Greg Storr, the Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg. We appreciate it. Greg joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Karen, back to you.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. We've been watching futures this morning. This is after stocks rose to a record yesterday. Futures this morning are little changed to higher now. S&P futures up about a point. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures are up 4. The 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 2.40%. Yield on the 2-year 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 52 cents to $53.52 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $8.50 to $12.28.30 an ounce. The euro this morning, $1.0645. The yen is at 113.53. The British pound at $1.2495. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
Senate Republican leaders want to deal with Democrats to confirm most of President Trump's cabinet picks before the 10-day President's Day recess. 6 nominees have been confirmed so far. Window blind makers are split over proposals to ban cords on many products. The goal is to prevent strangulation risks for children. And a political appointee would replace the independent director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau under a Republican proposal. The agency would also not collect consumer complaints or do research.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.